There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabay Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slip covers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slip covers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, and Germanicus is here. And we're imagining parts of the 21st century we can't quite see. We're good. We can see pretty much what's in the newspapers, but we can't see what hasn't been written yet. And what hasn't been written is what the U.S. looks like in 2035, not the distant future, not 2135, 10 years from now, 10 years ago, right now. Mr. Obama and the administration were enjoying their last moments before Ukraine was cut up by the Russians. Remember, it happened in 2014, all of a sudden. At the end of 2013, there was a negotiation underway in some fashion for Kyiv to, in some fashion, benefit from the European Union in some fashion. It was very vague. And then Russia moved, and the president of Ukraine fled. And the Maidan upset was marketed as a rising of the people. And the Russians sent the little green man into Crimea. And the revolution in Luhansk and Donetsk Oblast. And then Germanicus. 10 years ago, we can remember the events very carefully, including the sudden emergence of the U.S. in Kyiv. I think the chief representative of the U.S. in Kyiv after 2014 was the CIA. But in any event, 10 years from now, is the U.S. a power similar to the early 20th century? A power, not a superpower, a power?
Yes, the U.S. will be a power in large part because it has the second largest population in the world. And that will still be true, although Nigeria could supplant the U.S. in population at some point 30, 40 years from now. But I don't know if Nigeria can get from here to there, frankly. But the U.S. will be, after China and India, so I should say the third largest power, it will be the third largest population, so it'll have a large economy. The problem is the quality of the American population in terms of education and capability in a sophisticated or advanced economy will continue to decline. So the U.S. may be suffering a per capita decline, especially if there's a major economic, quote-unquote, correction, which is highly likely during this period. But the U.S. will still be a power. The resonance I see would be to Austria-Hungary after 1866. You have to remember that Austria-Hungary was one of the big three powers in 1815, along with Russia and the United Kingdom. And then Austria sort of held its own, but then it was brought down first by France in the wars over the unification of Italy, and then brought down in the most humiliating way by its bosom relation in Germany, which was the emerging Wilhelmine Reich, Germany, as we call it. And Austria-Hungary remained a power, one of the main powers in Europe. It was big. It had a large army. But it was clearly increasingly backward in its economic sophistication, and it was riven by identitarianism, by having so many different ethnic groups that were jostling and fighting with each other, increasingly Serbians and Romanians, but ultimately also including resistance from Czechs. And it was a recipe for disaster. And this is the kind of course that the U.S. has decided to take in the last several decades, and it will culminate at some
will
point.
Will we be comfortable with
this? National
crisis. Michael, can we be comfortable with this? Can we settle back down to being a power 1906?
Well, we'll have to forego the kind of vainglorious vision of universalism under the American vision, the U.S. is the world, will have to go. And the U.S. will have to accept a lesser strategic position, and it will have to, because it can't afford these military confrontations, it doesn't have a population that can fight. It doesn't want to fight, and it physically can't fight, and it's not going to happen. Therefore, the U.S. will have to recalibrate what it expects its military to do and how much it can effectively do with the limitations it has culturally and demographically.
All right.
Wait,
you trigger something. Yeah. Is the military going to accept its role as a state within a state, take care of itself, become a professional military like the French military, say, at the end of the 19th century? Very well off and insular.
But that's what the U.S. military is today. And frankly, it's not big enough to fight a war, a major war. It's only useful for SWAT team exercises like the Global War on Terror. And the fact is, it's already a state within a state, a culture within a culture. And it will, in order to survive in any effective form, have to change the current path that it's on, the sort of woke identitarian path that is leading to a less and less capable military, because it's human material, to put it in a kind of gross way, is declining rapidly. So if it were to become a truly professional sort of legionnaire, Roman-like professional military, it would have to depart from the kind of personnel policies it is currently pursuing. And I don't think that's politically possible unless there is a great sea change in American society. So the U.S. military right now really resembles a kind of a once great force in decline, say like the French military was in 1870. It's not ready for battle. It's not ready for prime time, as the cliche goes. And its decline has been remarkable in the last 15 or 20 years. And I've seen it, you know, as a professor at the Naval War College. I could see the decline happen year by year. The war was part of it. The war was sapping morale, and it was sapping the ability of the military to properly train and catch its breath and become more effective. And so it was in a slide, but then this has been accelerated, this slide, that is, by the politicizing of the military in this sort of church of woke environment that is creating all sorts of fissures and extreme demoralization within the ranks, and has exacerbated the problem not only of retention, but of recruitment.
And Ukraine, in the perception by the public, given we have a state within a state, the military, and given that we have a Washington leadership that, you know, it's indistinguishable from the other guy, right? They just change places every couple of years.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Does that mean Ukraine drifts into being the Western Balkans? Nobody can find it. Nobody cares.
My sense, just analyzing it as coldly as I possibly can, is that the Ukraine will become a part of the Balkan swath between Europe and Russia. And as Russia explicitly moves away from Europe, there will have to be some kind of buffer or neutral zone. And the U.S., by definition, especially coming out of the debacle that will end up in America's shame and humiliation over this war, the U.S. will not want any part of Ukraine.
Oh,
and
but
I think
Germanicus,
it will have to be.
I rush to the podium moment, and in grading the disasters of our lifetimes in the first century A.D., we would have to begin with the year of four emperors. Will you agree with that? So let us go to the comparable year of four emperors in the 20th, 21st century of the United States. I nominate Vietnam. Can you top that, Germanicus?
Vietnam was recoverable, though. You see, the year of the four emperors is a good correlation to Vietnam because Rome was able to have a renovatio and a very successful one. And we had a much shorter but equally successful renovatio under Reagan that lasted essentially, I would say 25 years. But the beginning with the fall of the Soviet Union and then accelerating with the global war on terrorism, the U.S. embarked on a kind of arrogant path.
Failure after failure, Germanicus. Is that an acceptable word to the military? Failure after failure. They failed in Saigon. They certainly failed in the Gulf. Good goodness. The Gulf led us into the Iraq War. Failure. They failed in Afghanistan. They failed in Ukraine. It's difficult. I mean, to take credit for the fall of the Soviet Union is laughable.
It is. It is. And the best thing about the Cold War, frankly, was that the nuclear taboo curbed U.S. arrogance and prevented wholesale war with, communist Eurasia. And I think China played a large part in that because I think China shocked the U.S., by inflicting the first major campaign defeat that the U.S. had suffered since the Battle of Fredericksburg in 1862. The Chinese army swept into Korea, and it was a shock to Americans. So we didn't want to fight the so-called peer power, peer competitor. So we screwed around in places like Vietnam. But in each place that we went to, we were defeated. And the U.S., after the fall of the Soviet Union, lost its sense of having any restraint and having any competitor. We were the superpower, the only superpower. Now there is only one superpower, as Nintendo used to advertise in 1992. And the U.S. lost its compass. It lost its balance. And that's all coming home now, and it's coming home in a rush. And I don't blame our adversaries, because in part we made them adversaries. I blame our leadership. Whatever they are, they're not up to the task.
Germanicus is Makavleos. I am Gaius John Bachelor. Londinium, it's cold. We're going to move on. We've finished our cup of wine. We don't work. We sit around and philosophize about the 21st century. We're on to the theater. More Greek drama, I fear. I don't even think about it anymore. I just accept that I'm an inadequate person when it comes to Greek philosophy. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.